Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
Hello, I'm Al Cooley, host of Ghost in the Valley podcast. Before I get started on the story, The Retreat, that was sent to me by Rochelle, let me state that I take every story sent to me or shared with me as true and accurate stories. Whether it being abducted by an alien, spotting Bigfoot, dealing with demons, or any other paranormal-related case or activity. I share these stories because, with the responses I get, I found that someone, usually, somewhere, has a similar story and can relate 100%. So, as Rochelle puts it, the only word she can use for her story is bizarre. When I finish with the story, please go to my Ghost in the Valley podcast links listed in the show notes below. My email address, website, Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram pages, and YouTube, and leave me your comments. I would love to hear from you and hear what you think of the story. Do you have one similar to that? So yes, please go and also rate Ghost in the Valley podcast on Apple and review, and I would greatly appreciate that. Again, the links will be posted in the show notes below. Also, as we enter 2021, our nation, the United States of America, has suffered over 400,000 coronavirus deaths at the time of this recording, and numbers are sure to grow. Please wear your face mask. Please social distance. If a loved one has passed away because of this deadly virus, my prayers to you and your family. And also, since many husbands, wives, sons, daughters, grandchildren, and grandparents, and so many others didn't get to say goodbye to their loved one at the time of their death, I'm sure there will be many stories to come in the future that you have been visited by one of these loved ones. Because in my past experiences, dealing with spirits, it's usually a spirit is there because they suffered a unsudden or tragic death, and didn't get to say their last goodbyes, or give their last testament that they wanted to say. So if you do have a story you would like to share, based on the coronavirus, please contact me at cooley54@gmail.com. and I would be honored to share your story. Again, people, please, please, wear your mask and social distance. Wash your hands, not just here in the United States, but all around the world. Let's beat this terrible virus head on. The story you are about to hear just totally floored me when I first read it, and I'm really excited to share it with you and get your input on it. The retreat was a true story sent to me by Rochelle. All last names were not mentioned, and the first names were changed to protect their identity. The story involves four office ladies who worked at the same place of business. They are very close to each other and decided they all needed a weekend getaway. So they decided to rent a cottage in the northeastern part of Pennsylvania, a getaway they all truly needed. Since they work a 9-to-5 job from Monday through Friday, their getaway was going to take place from Friday evening through Sunday afternoon. You know, just friends cooking out on the grill, stories around the campfire, and eating lots of chocolate, and of course, drinking a little bit of wine, a little bit of that vino. The four women involved in this weekend getaway were Rochelle, who submitted me the story, Tina, Patty, and Debbie. And it is Debbie who the whole bizarre story is about. And then there is Junior, who we will talk about real soon. It is July 2018, and the weatherman is calling for a beautiful weekend forecast. Sunny skies, warm weather, and most importantly, no rain in the forecast. It has been raining for almost 2 weeks in northeastern Pennsylvania, so a well-welcomed sunny forecast was fantastic to hear on their weekend getaway. Work has been very demanding on all four ladies, so the four soulmates, a term they called themselves, soulmates, were so freaking happy that they were going to have a getaway, and they've planned this getaway for almost 2 months. Tina and Patty were the divorcees. Rochelle was the only married one, and Debbie was the one about to tie the knot with her longtime boyfriend, Bobby. Bobby must truly love Debbie because she had a lot of issues, one being PTSD and severe depression, and was constantly sick with the cold, sniffles, and other flu-like symptoms. But the girls loved Debbie. As Rochelle puts it, ain't nobody perfect. So off they went in Rochelle's big black Suburban. 3 days of no bullshit, so they thought. But this was all about to change. They had the windows down, singing to the only CD Rochelle owned, Kuna Gang, and it's Ladies' Night. Feels so right. Oh, what a night. They were singing, just enjoying their weekend they were going to spend together. As the four ladies are pulling into the canopy of trees to the cottage, Tina asked Rochelle, how did you find out about this place? It's beautiful. Rochelle said, the internet, baby. The internet. They pulled up to the office, and an old man walks out to their car. Rochelle had to sign a couple forms on rules and regulations. Rochelle had already paid in full on her credit card, but what was weird, the old man never looked up at them or gave eye contact at all. As Rochelle puts it, he stunk like garlic. Weird. So very weird. He told them they would be in cottage number 4. There were 5 cottages, and all of them looked perfect. But there was one cottage that sat way back that they noticed was kind of rustic and covered with foliage. And they asked the old man, was that an old building they just didn't remodel? And the old man says, no, it's been here for years. And he just smiled, yet still not looking at them. They pulled into their driveway, unloaded their Suburban, sat down, had a glass of wine before they decided to go out and sit down by the lake. There were benches all around the lake. And that's just what they did. They BS'd with each other for a while, then they played a couple games of Scrabble, and then they went out back and they lit the grill. They were going to put hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill. Rochelle was manning the grill. Tina and Patty were getting the other condiments ready, but they noticed Debbie was down by the lake on a bench talking to a gentleman, and they were there for quite a while just talking, and they didn't think no big deal about it. When she came back up to the cottage, she said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know we were going to eat this early. That's okay. Who are you talking to? I don't really know. He just said everybody calls him JR. And seems like we have a lot in common. Also, had a lot of medical issues. And so, jokingly, Tina says, remember, you're going to get married. She goes, no, it's nothing like that. And they sat down, had a wonderful meal together, went outside, sat around a campfire, roasted some marshmallows, and then went back into the cabin. As they put it, were putting their cozies on, their nightwear, Tina says, where's Debbie? And they looked around, calling her name, but she wasn't answering. So they looked out, and they could see in the distance, it's a silhouette of Debbie down on the same bench talking to the same person. And their silhouette's in the moonlight. She says, oh, that don't look good. I don't think Bobby would approve of that. Rochelle said, they're just talking. About an hour, Debbie comes back in. And says, oh, you have quite a relation with that young man. Again, Debbie played it off. Says, no, we just met. It's nothing like that at all. Saturday morning, they get up and they decided they're going to go fishing. They're going to fish for their supper. And they did quite well. And they caught enough fish to make a nice supper. But again, that evening, Debbie wasn't to be found. And they looked and looked and looked. And they were starting to get worried because this just wasn't like her to be gone that long without saying anything. And they all started thinking the worst. Well, we don't know this guy, JR. They're thinking the worst, what he might have done to her. Well, they were right. Somehow, JR persuaded Debbie to go back to that abandoned cottage house. As Debbie puts it later on, she didn't know how she got there, but she got there like she was being overruled. Her mind was saying one thing, but her body was doing something else. Next thing you know, she's laying on this musty, smelly, stinky bed, and he's hovering over top of her.
Welcome to It Takes Energy, presented by Energy Transfer, where we talk all things oil and natural gas. Oil and gas drive our economy, ensure our country's security, and open pathways to brighter futures. The U.S. produces 13 million barrels of crude oil every day, enough to fill 800 Olympic swimming pools. But what is that oil used for? The gas we put in our cars is just the beginning. Nearly 50% of each barrel is refined into gasoline. Another 34% is refined into fuels like diesel and jet fuel. And the rest is used to make more than 96% of our everyday essentials, like the tennis shoes you wear, the cell phone you rely on, and medicines that help save lives. Look around, and you'll see the essential role oil and gas plays in our modern lives. Our world needs oil and gas, and people rely on us to deliver it. To learn more, visit ittakesenergy.com.
And she feels like he's raping her. She feels like a jelly-like motion, as she puts it, running from her head to her toes. And as soon as he was done, his eyes turned this bright, kind of yellowish red and let out this huge howl like a werewolf. At that same moment, the girls, Rochelle, Tina, and Patty, all heard this howl. And Rochelle says, man, I'm glad I brought my gun. My trusty old snub nose gonna take care of any old wolf out there. Coyote, because they're dealing with Rochelle right now. Patty goes, are you carrying? She goes, oh yeah, I got a concealed carry. You didn't know that? I said, no, I didn't. Oh yeah, you girls are protected. At the same time as Rochelle was washing the dishes, she looks out the cottage window, and she sees like a shadow figure running by the window that turned and looked right at her with these orange reddish eyes. And then just disappeared. She's like, I don't know if that was an owl that flew by or what that was. She's telling the other girls, but that sucker tried to come in this house. You know what I'm going to do to that? A few moments later, Debbie comes bursting in the house in full tears. And she says, are you okay? What happened to you? She goes, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm okay. I need to go to bed. I need to just get a good night's sleep. I hope you all understand. And she goes in her room, shuts the door. And that's the last they see of Debbie. And they're all sitting around in the living room saying, what the hell? I mean, what was that? Well, Rochelle, being Rochelle, walks in her room and says, are you sure you're okay? Did he do anything to you? Because I sure the hell will shoot that mother. She says, oh, no. I'm okay. It's okay. And with that, she closed the door and she goes back to the girls and says, I don't know. I'm worried about her. And they had a nightcap and they all went to bed. Sunday morning, they got up, but Debbie wasn't in the kitchen. I said, oh my God, I hope she's not down by the lake again. And they open their door and she's not there, but there's a note on the dresser that says, as you were sleeping, I got a ride home. I didn't want to ruin the rest of your stay here. I'm so, so sorry. Debbie. So Rochelle, Tina, and Patty enjoyed the rest of their day and had a last minute cookout and headed back home. The following Monday morning, when they all went into work, they're looking around and there's no Debbie. And Rochelle asked their group leader, did Debbie call off today? And John, their group leader, said, oh, she didn't tell you? Rochelle said, no. Debbie called in and actually quit. Are you serious? She says she has too much on her plate right now, and she quit. So Rochelle says, oh my God, I didn't know that. Something terrible is going on with her right now. He says, you tell me, because her fiance called in too, and he was upset, wanting to know if Debbie came into work today. I told him, no, she had quit her job, and he was upset, said that Debbie also called off the marriage. Well, a couple hours went by, and this didn't sit well with Rochelle. Right after work, she goes to Debbie's house. After about 4 or 5 rings on the doorbell, Rochelle texts her and says, Debbie, if you do not open this door right now, I will shoot the lock right off of it. With that, Debbie opened the door, and she was totally wiped out. Looked like she had been crying all night. Rochelle said, you have to talk to me, girl. You have to tell me everything. What the hell is going on with you? Debbie said that she don't know how she got to that abandoned cabin with JR, but she feels that JR raped her. She goes, what do you mean you feel he raped you? He either did or he didn't. And why didn't you report this? She says, who am I going to report it to? I really know he raped me. He had sex with me, but my clothes was never removed. Rochelle's like, man, this is deeper than what I can handle. You can't be raped without, I mean, what you're explaining to me, it don't make sense. And she says, I know. And I feel like I've been unfaithful to Bobby. But you're not married yet, so let's move on and don't even tell Bobby about this. She goes, I've been saving myself until marriage, and I feel like I let Bobby down. She says, you're not Mother Mary, so I don't get it. I don't believe you were raped. Debbie says, I can't explain it to you, and you're my best friend. And if you can't believe me, do you think the police will believe me? Do you think anybody will believe the story? The person who raped me wasn't of human origin. Now, who's going to believe that? And with that, Debbie says, I really can't talk anymore. I'm totally emotional wreck, and I just need a lot of sleep, and I will contact you as soon as I'm back on my feet again. I'll be okay. A couple weeks go by. Rochelle hears nothing from Debbie. A month goes by. 2 months go by. She's abiding by Debbie's wishes to don't contact her. Let me contact you when I'm full and ready. Rochelle got back together with Tina and Patty, and they decided to go back to Debbie's house and get her help. When Debbie opened the door, she let them in. She was more composed. She had full control of her emotions and said, I have more to the story, and you can either believe me, don't believe me, walk away, or not be my friend anymore. It's totally going to be up to you, but I want to tell you the complete truth. And as she had stated earlier, she felt that JR did rape her. She took a pregnancy test, 5 of them, and she tested positive. She was pregnant. Rochelle's like, you definitely had your clothes off. Debbie says, let me explain. No, I did not have my clothes off. As I stated earlier, this thing wasn't of human origin. I don't know what it was, but it impregnated me. I miscarried, and what came out was not of human origin, and it went down the toilet. All three are looking at Debbie like, what the hell is this? She explained this all to Bobby. Bobby, who is totally in love with Debbie, says, I will still stay by your side. I will be there for any type of help you want to get or need. With that, Debbie thought that Bobby just thought she was psycho, and she wanted somebody who to love her and believe her and trust her in anything she does or says. As the three girls were leaving, Rochelle, Tina, and Patty, They started headed down the road, and Tina says, "This isn't the way back to the city." And Rochelle says, "No, we're heading back to the cottage. I'm going to get to the bottom of this." When they pulled into the office at the cottage, a different person comes out. She says, "Where was the old man that we dealt with a few months ago?" And he says, "I'm the only one that works here. We were closed July." Rochelle says, "Well, that's when we were here." And the man says, "That's impossible because we were closed." She goes, "No, there was a man here to give us keys to cottage number 4. And there was another abandoned cottage that's down at the end of the road here that I see it's no longer here." He goes, well, there used to be a cottage there. And then there was a fire around 1930. And the owner of the cottage, his son, who they called JR, died in that fire. And they were like, "Oh my God, somebody must have gave you a key while I wasn't here. I don't understand." "That's okay, sir. We're sorry for your time." He stood there with a puzzled look on his face. On the way back to Debbie's, Rochelle was talking to the other two and says, "Isn't that so strange that maybe we were all duped by this strange occurrence?" Tina says, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Did you notice that the cottage wasn't there and that the trees were at least 50, 70 feet high? Those trees ain't going to grow 70 feet high in 6 months." They said, "Yeah, because there was a cottage there." She says, "Exactly." They went back to talk to Debbie, and Debbie said what was really strange, JR was over top of her, that when he changed into like this creature-looking, werewolf-looking thing with those yellowish red eyes, that he smelled just like the old man that registered the mint, just like garlic. As time went on, all four girls never had another occurrence with any extraterrestrial beings. No visit from JR, nothing. But it was a lasting memory that all four will never forget. So what do you think? Do you think that something happened that night that was out of this world? Do you think nothing happened at all and it was just made up? Something like this could happen? As Rochelle had stated earlier, the story is bizarre, at the least. But she stands by her story, and she stands by what she saw. If you have a story you would like to share on Ghosts in the Valley, please contact me at cooley54@gmail.com. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in the Valley Podcast.